If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 15. We're in the book of John. John chapter 15 is where we're going to be today. The title of the message is The Vine. Before I get into the message, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Bradley for sharing last week from the pulpit. I hope that you enjoyed his message. If you didn't, weren't able to be here last week, I encourage you to go online. What a wonderful message about God's peace and how he provides peace for us. Some of you are wondering about the green fencing out here, and during the service, we're going to have an obstacle course, and so I hope all of you are limber, ready to jump over those fences. And I did talk to one of you this morning, and he told me he was going to go through the fence, so or around the fence, but that's not an option. No, I'm joking. Those are for the snow that's coming. That I understand maybe tonight or tomorrow. You were in Rapid City. If you were in Rapid City yesterday, you were a part of a record-setting day, according to the paper. 69 degrees on February 1 is a record. Setting high. I wish we would have gotten to 70, but we'll take 69. And so what a wonderful thing it is to be in Rapid City. I start this week and ask this question. What are you connected to that gives you life, breath, and meaning? What are you connected to that gives you life, breath, and meaning? I feel that each of us gives something, we're connected to something that gives us life and meaning. In recent years, I've sadly seen, and you have as well, the number of suicides increase dramatically in Rapid City, in South Dakota, and in our culture. It just has went up huge. I'm saddened by that. And I think one of the reasons of suicide is despair and not having an understanding that we can be connected with God Almighty. Now, I know that when I bring up this topic, there are some of you, well, this person loved the Lord, and then still they took their own life. I don't understand all of that. I really don't. But I do understand this. If we can understand that God gives us life and breath and meaning, I think we can have such a wonderful understanding of life. On a less invasive scale, work is another way that we receive life and breath and meaning. Some of you just can't wait to get to work tomorrow, right? Yeah. Nobody here? Ready to get back to work? Kelly Edwards and Tamar Studioso. Life and breath and meaning through your work. Some of you just drudge through it. Some of us get our life and breath and meaning, and we set our alarm clocks for our work. Or we don't even need an alarm clock because we're so excited. Another thing that gives us life and breath and meaning is our family. Some of you, the Johnson family, are sitting here, and you're all sitting together, and you're even with your parents and grandparents. Some of you have family that you have life and breath and meaning, and that's what gives you excitement. Some of you have children. Oh, man, they give you life and breath and meaning. And sometimes when they wake you up in the morning, you're like, oh. Another thing is sports. Some are really excited about today. I don't know if everybody knows this, but it's the Super Bowl today. That's a football game that happens once a year on the first Sunday of the month. Does anybody know that? Anybody? It's a Super Bowl. Go Kansas City, you can go. The 49ers, are they playing? Maybe the Cowboys are in this year. Philadelphia Eagles, maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For some, life and breath and meaning come through sports. I was listening on the radio last night as I was picking up my daughter from the school as she was getting back from a basketball game, and some have life and breath and meaning from gambling on the Super Bowl about what kind of Gatorade is going to be dumped on the coach, what color. Don't do that, by the way. I mean, anyway. For some, we receive life and breath and meaning from the possession of things. Oh, I can't wait till I purchase this. I can't wait till I get that. And we have life and breath, and money burns a hole in our pocket till we're able to spend it, because that gives us life and breath and meaning. But sooner or later, all these things, work, family, sports, hobbies, are going to fade away. What gives you life, breath, and meaning? I ask that you think about being connected to what I have up in front, the vine. The vine of life being God. Not this vine, because this vine's been cut, but the actual vine. The first 11 verses of chapter 15 are packed with a couple of different ways that I could have went and I could have delved into. So I'm not going to get to all of the 11 verses. I mean, I'm going to read through them, but I won't be able to dissect each one. But I believe God is going to speak to each of you. But before I get into reading the word, let me remind you that there are 7 I am statements in the book of John. Several ways that Jesus identifies himself. Here they are. He identifies himself. He says, I am the bread of life in John chapter 35. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. In John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. In John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John chapter 15, verse 1, where we're at, I am the true vine. Maybe something that you would just like to think about today, as you see those on the screen, which one speaks most to you? Because Jesus identifies himself, and sometimes we can tie into one of those and say, yes, thank you. Jesus used a picture of the vine in John chapter 15. The Old Testament shares several times referencing Israel as a vine. As one commentator would say, vine was the image of Israel. And now Jesus is saying that he is the vine, and we need to depend on him. So I'm going to jump into the scripture now. John chapter 15. I'm going to start at verse 1 and I'm going to go through verse 11. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, there's probably one in a rack near you. And it's on page 901. It'll also be on the screen behind me. And maybe you brought your scripture with you. Here's what it says. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The first thing is this: Jesus is the true vine. He calls himself, Jesus, the true vine. Not just any vine, but the true one. In John chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus is referenced as the true light. Are there any other vines? Yes, there are. I've mentioned a couple, whether it be sports or hobbies or family or work. There's other vines that people tie into. When you think of a vine, what do you think of? I would guess you'd think of something like this. A vine was also a short form video hosting service that users were able to share six second long looping video clips. It was found in 2012, but it's no longer on the air. Some of you might think of the Vines. When you think of that, you might think of the Australian rock band. I didn't think of them, but I found them. Or maybe you think of some vines that I have seen or I have pictures of here, and maybe you've seen these vines. There's the kudzu vine. There's the leather flower vine. There's the Virginia creeper vine. There's the jasmine vine or the honeysuckle vine. Maybe you have at your house the climbing hydrangea vine or the grape vine, or the last one is the wisteria. Here, how many of you have vines at your house? You're vine people. Okay. Cool. How many of you never want to have a vine at your... How many of you like... Anyway, there's something about vines. When you think of vines, maybe you think of grapes, and maybe you get excited about wine. Jesus is the vine. It may be that Jesus was near a vine here, but many assume that it was probably still nighttime, so he probably wasn't near a vine at that point in time. But maybe there were vines around, just like there's pine trees around us. And we think, oh, how would Jesus use a pine tree per se? Maybe there was a burning heap of vine pruning that was happening. And so they could smell that. They knew that it was there. And they're like, huh, that's what he's talking about. I begin to wonder, when does the vine branch start and begin? Do we have understanding of when it starts and when it ends? It seems to me that it's all together. Thus, am I so close to God that others see his characteristics in me? And then I ask this question before I go any further. Are you connected to the true vine? You must be connected to the true vine in order for him to prune, for him to abide in you. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? If you don't, I ask that you would be connected to the true vine, to be grafted in, as another scripture would say. Be connected to Jesus. Be connected here as a body. I have with me some grapes today, and you can't see them, and I know it's really small, but I just want you to think about how tightly the grapes come in a grapevine. I mean, sometimes when they come out in a clump, you're like, where do I cut this? So I don't want all those grapes. I just want a couple. Maybe you just pick them off, but you try to stick your scissors in there, and it's hard to get them out because you're worried about damaging, one of the grapes. They all are together. You must be a part of the vine, and we are the branches together, and we're clustered together. So the second thing I want you to see is this. We must bear fruit. An experienced gardener knows this. The parts that aren't bearing fruit, guess what happens to those parts? Needs to be cut off. Needs to be done away with. Needs to be, here we go, we're going to clip it off. Why? Because we want the vine to bear more fruit. What happens if we don't bear fruit? Here's what the scripture says. We are thrown away. We wither. We die. What is a sign of bearing fruit? I asked that question of the text. What kind of fruit? You look into Galatians chapter 5, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Are those parts of lives of our, are those fruit flowing out of us, bearing fruit, could be seen differently in many different eyes, but we need to bear fruit. Let me give you an illustration of maybe that will help with about bearing fruit. Many of you are adults, and so you're no longer taking piano lessons or instrument lessons of some kind. But some of you as adults remember taking piano lessons or instrument lessons of some kind. Some of you are teens and kids, and you do take instrument lessons. Guess who knows if you've been practicing your lesson or not? Well, first of all, your parents probably know that. But second of all, when you show up at your piano lesson or your instrument lesson, guess who knows? The piano teacher. Now, some piano teachers might whack you on the hand if you're a piano player and say, get to practicing. Or they just might come along and say, it's been kind of a long week, hasn't it? Your piano teacher knows. Other people around us know if we are bearing fruit of righteousness or not. Oh, nobody will ever know. People can tell if you're connected to the vine or not, and if we're bearing fruit. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, you've been healthy this year? Oh, yeah, been really good. You know what the doctor does? Or the nurse, or whoever, puts this little, nice little belt thing, a little squeeze on your arm, and checks your blood pressure. Do some checking of your blood, and they say, you haven't been so healthy. Your cholesterol is high, you have high blood pressure, and your pulse is erratic, and it is skyrocketing. Do you ever walk? Do you ever exercise? I'm bearing much fruit. We have to be careful. The doctor knows, the piano teacher knows, and everybody else knows. Are we bearing fruit? So I ask us, are you bearing fruit of righteousness? Don't just put on a facade. I can't put on a facade and say, yeah, I'm bearing fruit, when I'm not bearing that fruit, when I'm not exhibiting that fruit, when I'm not sharing of my faith. The third thing I want you to see is this. We are pruned. This point is an important one, but I don't think it's one that we necessarily enjoy. But I want to talk to you for just a couple moments. If we claim to be a Christian, there are going to be times that Jesus prunes us. As we look at the vine, it seems logical, reasonable, sound. But when we look at it for ourselves, we're like, don't start pruning here. Don't start pruning me. It seems invasive, hurtful, unwieldy. But if we want to grow, the Holy Spirit needs to come into our life and needs to find a way to prune. If God's word abides in us, we will see that this is needed. Here is this scene. I have a quote. Please read along silently as I read aloud. Were you ever in a greenhouse or in a vineyard at the season of cutting back the vines? What flagitious waste it would seem to an ignorant person to see scattered on the floor the bright green leaves and the incipient clusters, and to look up at the bare stem bleeding at 100 points from the sharp steel. Yes. But there was not a random stroke in it at all. And there was nothing cut away which it was not lost to keep and gained to lose. And it was all done artistically, scientifically, for a set purpose that the plant might bring forth more fruit. Do you believe that God needs and should prune? Another commentator says, even fruitful branches need pruning. I'm not a professional pruner. Actually, my wife and I have discussions about when we should trim our shrubs or not. And so we try to figure out when to do that. And many times when it comes to the rose bush, I just say, Manel, you take care of it because I probably won't do that right. Pruning causes stress and damage to the plant. However, for the long term, health and productivity of the plant, it's very beneficial to prune. Tools, timing, and technique are some things that when I did a little research, it's important to have the best tools. You don't want to settle for something dull. You don't want something junky. You want to have the right tool. The bush needs to be pruned at just the right time. The wrong season is not going to help the shrub or the plant grow the best. The technique is important. Think of this. If we have a vine and I go at it with a hatchet, I'm just going to start whacking. Some of you have done this. And you just whack and whack and whack. Is that helpful for the vine? No. It needs to be found at just the right way, with just the right pruning. It needs to be at a 45-degree angle. Never remove more than one-third of the plant. Let me say this. This is just like God. He has the best tools. His Holy Spirit comes in at just the right time and prunes us. In those moments, it's not necessarily all that fun for us. But would you be willing to ask God today, is there any pruning that needs to happen in my life? Or maybe you already know that. Maybe God's already been pruning on your life, and you've been resisting, and you've been trying to stay away from the pruning shears of the Lord, and you're like, no! But he's saying, I want you to bear more fruit. I want to cut away the dross. I want to throw the dross away into a burning heap of fire. Let me use an analogy that might work. Some of you in this room like to drink soda. Not all of you do. Some of you like to drink pop. So you drink. And let me tell you, that's not the best thing to drink. It's got a bunch of sugar in it. Even if you drink diet. It's not, the best thing to drink is water. Well, I don't like the taste of water. Well, but let's say that your doctor came to you and said, you know, you need to quit drinking pop. You need to drink water. We listen to the doctor, possibly. Some of us don't. I'm going to keep drinking the pop and die happy. But if we want to live longer, what do we drink? We just start drinking water. We start finding that water that gives us that life flow. And that's where the pruning happens. There are times when God says, I need to prune. We enjoy jokes, don't we? And there are times when God needs to prune us and say, those jokes aren't ones that we should share. Share good jokes instead of foul ones. God sometimes needs to prune us by helping us not to have any like of any other book than the book. I'm trusting that this month of January you've been in the book and not just any book. We're a month gone of the new year, and I encourage you to be in the book every single day. How are we bearing more fruit by reading God's word, or can we bear more fruit by reading some other fiction or nonfiction? Be in God's word. Would you be willing to ask the Lord to prune you wherever today? Why be pruned? To bear more fruit. Here's what one says. Pruning is not a punishment for a Christian. It is a reward. Spiritual pruning enhances spiritual growth by removing whatever inhibits spiritual growth. Maybe God would reveal to you a life, a part of your life that needs to be cut away. A relationship, an attitude, language, an addiction that needs to be cut away, a mindset. Great news. There is a time for pruning, but it's not all the time. There is a certain time of pruning. It's not like God's just trying to all your life. There is a specific time, a specific season, and the vine doesn't resist the pruning. Number four, apart from God, we can do nothing. Apart from God, we can do nothing, just like the vine. How are grapes formed? By being connected to the vine. How are oranges grown? By being on the tree. Some of you in a little bit are going to plant some beans, and you're going to put them in the ground, and they're not going to grow by themselves. They have to be connected to the vine. Peas can't grow away from the plant. We must be connected to God, and we must be connected to others on the vine. Grapes grow together. We are grafted together with others. We need the life from the vine, or we go dead and we grow old. We must stay with the vine. We can accomplish many things in this life, but if it's not eternal, it doesn't matter. Number five, we abide in him so that his joy may be in us and may be full or complete, or whatever your version says. I encourage you to look at verse 11, and I don't have much time to go into it, but here's what it says. These things I have spoken to you. How is this joy going to happen? By being in the vine. But here's what it says, that my joy may be in you. God's joy wants to come in you today. Do you have joy today? If you don't, I just want to say, God's joy wants to come in you. And when God's joy comes in you, guess what happens? Your joy may be full. And let me tell you, he has more joy to give you than even you can handle, but he wants to pour all of this joy within you. There is great power in verse 11. Now, I want you to see also something else that's hidden in, well, I don't think it's hidden, it's just there. In verse 9 and verse 10, do you see what it says? As the Father has loved me, I kind of stopped when I read it. Abide in my love. In verse 10, you will abide in my love and the Father's commandments and abide in his love. Catch it, three times in two verses. We need to abide in his love. When we abide in his love and we are in the vine and we are the branches, when we're connected, then guess what happens? His joy is in us, and then his joy will be full in us. We get to be like a hose. Didn't bring a hose with me today, but we get to be like a hose. Without the hose, the water just... With a hose, we can take and we can go water something and we hold all of that. And we just get to allow the Spirit to live within us. And we get to be a conduit holding the life-giving force of the joy of the Lord to others. What gives you life and breath and meaning? I trust that it is the giver of life and breath and meaning, and that's Jesus Christ. I trust that you're connected to the true vine, and he is giving you life and breath. Abide in God. Is there pruning that's needed? If God has revealed something to you today of just need to get the shears out and shear a little bit, don't resist that. Say, yes, Lord. Why? To bear more fruit. And then verse 11. Abide in me, and my joy will be in you, and your joy may be full. Stand with me today. I want to pray for each and every one of you. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I ask that as we go from this place, that each person that's heard this message will abide in you. I pray that they will be connected to the true vine. There's somebody here this morning that has never entered into a relationship with you and needs to be a part of the vine. Would you right now say, come, I want to graft you into the vine. And I pray that we would be the branches. God, I pray that if we need some pruning today, that you, in your careful, artistic way of the Holy Spirit, would prune us. Thank you for pruning us, that we may bear more fruit, and may we bear more fruit, that others might see that, and may the fruit of the Spirit flow in and through us. May we abide in your love, and then, God, I pray, may your joy be in us. And may our joy be full. God, there are some of us that we're a little depleted in joy today. And I pray that you would prune away whatever so that your joy may be in us and it may be full. Grant us your strength all this week. Give us of your grace and of your might and of your power. And thank you for your love. Go before us, we pray, in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.